Chapter 14. I was more than a little curious to find out what had actually gone on with my brother and the kids, but Rita hustled them into bed before I could speak to them. I went to sleep unsatisfied, and in the morning there was no chance to speak to them away from their mother. This was a very necessary condition, since if anything had happened other than Chinese food, I most certainly didn't want Rita to hear about it. And the kids had probably been warned not to say anything, if I knew Brian, which I really didn't come to think of it. I mean, I thought I knew how he would think and act in certain matters, but beyond that, who was he? What did he want from life, beyond the occasional slash happy play session? I had no idea, and I did not find one, in spite of pondering it all the way through breakfast and the drive to work. Happily for my self-esteem, I did not get a great deal more time to worry about my inability to figure out my brother, because when I arrived at work, the second floor where forensics was located was buzzing with the kind of whacked-out frenzy that only a really interesting crime can cause. Camilla Figg, a square forensic tech in her mid-30s, went dashing past me, clutching her kit, and she barely even blushed as she brushed against my arm. And when I walked into the lab, Vince Masuoka was already jumping about stuffing things into his bag. "Have you got a pith helmet?" he called to me. "Certainly not," I said. "Silly question." "You may want one," he said. "We're going on safari." "Oh, Kendall again?" I said. "Everglades," he said. "Something really wild went down last night." "Ungawa," I said. "I'll pack the bug spray." And so, only an hour later, I climbed out of Vince's car and stood beside Route 41 in the Everglades, just a couple of miles from 40 Mile Bend. Harry had brought me camping in the area when I was a teenager, and I actually had some happy memories here involving several small animals that had contributed to my education. Aside from the official vehicles parked by the road, there were two big vans pulled onto the small dirt parking area. A little trailer was hooked onto one of them. A flock of about 15 teenage boys and three men in Boy Scout uniforms huddled uncertainly around the vans, and I saw two detectives talking to them one at a time. There was a uniformed cop standing beside the road waving the traffic to keep moving, and Vince tapped him on the shoulder. "Hey, Rosen," Vince said, "what's up with the scouts?"
"They're the ones that found it. Got here this morning for a camping trip," Rosen said, adding, "keep moving," to a car that had slowed down to look.
"Found what?" Vince asked him.
"I just wave at the fucking cars," Rosen said sourly. "You're the ones that get to play with the bodies. Keep moving, come on," he said to another gawker.
"Where do we go?" Vince said.
Rosen pointed to the far side of the parking area and turned away. I guess if I had to stand in the traffic while somebody else got to play with the bodies, I would have been surly too. We walked toward the trailhead, past the scouts. They must have found something awful out there, but they didn't look terribly shocked or frightened. In fact, they were chuckling and shoving one another as if this were a special kind of holiday, and it made me sorry I had never joined the Boy Scouts. Perhaps I could have earned a merit badge for body part recycling. We went down the trail that led south into the trees and then curved around to the west for about half a mile until it came out into a clearing. By the time we got there, Vince was sweating and breathing heavily, but I was almost eager since a soft voice had been whispering to me that something worth seeing was waiting for me. But at first glance, there seemed to be very little to see except a large trampled-down area surrounding a fire pit and, to the left of the fire, a small heap of something or other that I could not quite see past Camilla Figg's hunched-over form. Whatever it was, it caused a leathery whir of interest from the dark passenger, and I moved forward with just a trace of eagerness, forgetting for the moment that I had forsworn such dark pleasures. "Hi, Camilla," I said to her as I approached. "What have we got?" She instantly blushed furiously, which was, for some reason, her usual habit when I talked to her.
"Bones," she said softly.
"No chance they're from a pig or a goat?" I asked. She shook her head violently, and in one gloved hand held up what I thought I recognized as a human humerus, which was not all that funny.
"No chance," she said.
"Well then," I said, noticing the charred marks on the bones and listening to the happy, sibilant chuckle from within. I could not tell if they had been burned after death as a way to get rid of the evidence or